to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic, and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers, what compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity, and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram. In today's episode of Serving in the Name of Sai, we are pleased to bring you an interview with Mrs. Clementine Paus of Holland. This was first aired as a live conversation on 2nd August 2012. In this conversation, Radio Sai covers a noble seva project that the Karuna Animal Society is undertaking in and around Puttaparthi. In conversation with Mrs. Clementine Paus is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi.
We hope to offer you a peep into some of the wonderful social work that has sprung in and around Puttaparthi as a result of Baba's gospel of love and selfless service. There are many wonderful service projects that Baba has inspired his devotees to take up all over the world, including a few in the vicinity of Puttaparthi. And how this work has improved the quality of life of not only the local population of human beings, but also of animals. Coming up is a conversation with the special guest, Clementine Paus of the Karuna Animal Shelter. And no, I did not invite her because her shelter bears my name. It's what Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba has blessed the team at Karuna Animal Center to do that makes their work so noteworthy. The Karuna Society for Animals and Nature has been established in Puttaparthi since the year 2000. It's a registered not-for-profit organization working for animal welfare and the environment by providing free medical care and shelter for sick, injured, abandoned and abused animals while sustaining all food production with organic farming and alternate fuels. Its name is derived from the Sanskrit name Karuna or compassion, which is the motivating force behind the group's efforts. Before I tell you more about Clementine Paus of the Karuna Animal Shelter, let me read out a few important messages from Bhagwan Baba in this context. Swami says, and I quote him, "Compassion towards all living beings is an important spiritual discipline. Man is the crown of creation. He has to love other living beings, serve them and save them, for they are his kith and kin, and they too have the divine principle at their core. When you love and look after an animal, you help to lift the whole of creation. If you can't keep an animal, then you should at least feed the birds. God is in every living being, bird, beast, and tree. Love is a great quality in man, but it should be shown not only towards other human beings, but also towards all living creatures." And finally, here is an important reminder from Shirdi Sai Baba. And I quote him, "Sometimes I am a dog, sometimes a pig, a cow, a cat and an ant, a fly and an aquatic creature. In such various forms do I move about in the world. Know that I like only him who sees me in all living beings. So give up the sense of differentiation. This is the way to worship me." Unquote. So, dear listeners, in the village of Inumalapalli, adjoining Puttaparthi, is the Karuna Animal Shelter, founded by Clementine Pauws of Holland. Clementine Pauws was born in Holland in 1945. She loved animals all her life. She attended the Amsterdam University as a mature student to study Western metaphysics, earning herself a master's degree in philosophy in 1990. In 1995, she relocated to Puttaparthi to live near Bhagwan Baba. Inspired by his teachings and his love for all creation, two-legged, four-legged, winged or finned, she found her calling in serving needy animals and has been doing so ever since. Sairam Clementine, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam Karuna.
Clementine, please tell our listeners briefly how Karuna Animal Society came about.
When I arrived in Puttaparthi in 1995, as an animal lover, I was immediately touched by the many, many animals on the road in Puttaparthi. Mm-hmm. Of course, as a foreigner, the first thing you see is a dog.
Of course.
And there were many. And there were puppies and mothers and donkeys and
cows.
Yes, but at that moment in time, I did not have much eye for the cows.
I see.
So because I was mainly attracted to the dogs at that moment. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I started to look after them. I went around with my bicycle. And especially the donkeys also, we did not mention before, but many donkeys, they were left alone on the side of the road to die. So it was quite a horrific situation because there was no support for animals apart from the local animal doctor for the cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that is how we started. And in 2000, we registered Karuna Society.
I see. So your work in this area of animal rights has really put Puttaparthi on the map of several national and international organizations and who are connected with animal rights. So tell us about your many affiliations.
Well, we are a member society of the World Society for Protection of Animals. Mm-hmm. So we are recognized by them. And we are associated with the RSPCA in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from this, we are directly connected with the government in Andhra Pradesh and in India. For wildlife, we are connected with the Central Zoo Authority and with the Wildlife Department in Hyderabad and in Anantapur. And we are a member of the Animal Welfare Board of India. We are recognized by them as an animal shelter.
I see. Yours is a lifetime commitment to protecting animals and their rights. What prompted you to make this decision?
I don't think I made any conscious decision. I think it just was my heart that opened or that just went out to them. And I think that is one of the many ways that Swami is moving about and have all the work done. There is no need always to ask something of Swami, should I do this, should I do that? The moment your heart speaks, then you just act. And that's what I did. Because, of course, I loved animals all my life. So when I was confronted with the situation here, there was no question what I should do. And Swami has been confirming this to me in different ways.
I had
several personal dreams. First of all, he made it very clear to me that I did not have much business in the ashrams waiting for him, as I had a lot of work outside. And the second one was that I had a vision of Swami standing at the place where the animal clinic is now.
In Inumalapalli.
In Inumalapalli. And I was looking at it from here, from the ashram side. And he was standing there with a very big black dog, a big one.
I see.
And that touched me. And then I understood that is the work Swami wants me to do. Mm-hmm. He is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where I have to find him. So I find Swami in every animal that I deal with. Because I open up very easily to animals.
I believe you did have some confirmation in person as well.
Yes, we had in my third interview with Swami, I think that was in 2002, I'm not sure about that. There was one lady in the group and she complained to Swami and she said, oh Swami, the animals here are suffering so much and what about the dogs? And then Swami said, look, that lady is looking after them.
About you? You were sitting in the interview?
I was sitting with the group in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So then he asked me, oh, do the dogs have any name? So, and I said, yes, yes, it is Shiva and Shakti and Prema and Kalia and all those names. Oh, Swami said, they are all God's names. And I said, yes, yes. And he asked me, what is the reverse of dog? So, of course, this is one of Swami's more popular quotes. Yes, that is God. So, for me, my connection with Swami is mainly through animals.
Very interesting. Yes, D-O-G spelt backwards is God, of course.
Yeah.
What is the main vision or mandate of Karuna, animal shelter?
Karuna's vision is to practice compassion for animals and nature. That the rescue of animals in distress and to give shelter to and medical care to mainly stray animals. Because for stray animals, there is nobody there. So we pick them up, we give them treatment. If possible, we send them back. If they are disabled, we keep them for life. We hardly ever euthanize an animal. If it is absolutely necessary because of the suffering, we do. And so we are there for them. And it's not only the animals, but for nature, because nature is included in our ideas. For nature, we envision that the earth is the body of God. So it is not only even animals, but it's also the soil, the whole earth that is a living being, and that needs to be respected and served. So for me, it is all one, and every aspect of matter, of creation, is divine.
Beautifully said. Let's talk about the various activities that you undertake. The first one that I want to talk about, which I found so fascinating, is that you rescued a leopard from the Bukapatnam area in a few months ago. Now, I only read about leopards and lions roaming the vicinity of Puttaparthi when I was a child growing up. When I was reading stories about how in his childhood, the British officer was trying to cross the Chitravati banks and his jeep got stalled, and then that's because Swami wanted to tell him that he had killed a mother tiger, and the pups were crying for her in the dark and they were scared. But who would have thought there are leopards still in the Bukapatnam area, and your organization recently rescued one. Tell us about that operation.
Yes. It is actually a very confronting story, because the reason that wildlife is so close to Puttaparthi and to Bukapatnam and to the villages is because the forest is more and more inhabitable for wildlife.
I see. So they're coming out.
They are coming close to the villages because they have no water. They are looking for food and water. Yes? So actually we should not see them, because there are also still bears around in Andhra Pradesh and in this area. We also have 4 rescued bears. So we have rescued recently 2 leopards. One was big. It was hit probably by a car, or maybe people have been trying to hunt it down. So it was paralyzed. And we had to sedate it, and we took it to our shelter. And from there it was transported to the zoo in Tirupati. So this small leopard, it was only a few days old, so nobody knows what happened to the mother.
Oh, I see.
And it is the forest department who is finding them, because the word goes around very quickly, because the local people, they will see it. There is still a lot of hunting by local people in the forests. So there is always, everybody knows what everybody is doing.
Yes.
So if they are hunting animals, somebody else will tell the forest department. And if an animal needs to be rescued, then they will call Karuna Society. At this very moment, Narendra, whom you met yesterday, he has gone out to rescue python, because a python is already, that's a very big snake.
Yes.
It has fallen into a big well and it cannot come out.
Oh, I see.
And everybody is scared. So he has to go there, he has to rescue the animal, and if it is not wounded or damaged, we have to release it in a safe place.
I see. You are doing what government agencies should be doing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes,
yes. Wonderful work.
Yes, that is all our activities are basically should be done by the government, or should be done in that way, but it's not being done, so somebody has to do it.
I see. That's called responsible citizenship. Tell us about Ahimsa Farm.
The Ahimsa Farm has come about after the rescue by our organization of about 600 cattle. Since 2002, we have rescued 600 cattle from illegal transport to slaughter.
By cattle, you mean...
It means buffaloes, bulls, cows, calves, every part of the cow family. Yes? And they are being transported illegally through different marketplaces. And so we have started rescue of those animals, because actually the Indian government is having very beautiful protection laws for animals.
Mm-hmm.
That is not even in other places of the country.
Yeah, I believe we have some ironclad, very excellent laws.
Yes, the laws is beautiful, but there is zero implementation.
That's the
so
bad
there
thing.
Is no protection at all.
I
for
see.
Animals.
I see.
But the regular people think, oh, our cow is protected. No, she is not protected. The calves should be protected, but they are not protected. So this is a very sorry state of affair. I don't feel I can change that. But what we can do is to just do it in a different way. Because we were faced with 600 animals, about 200-250, they were working bulls. We have given for adoption to local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them have come back. Many of them have died in the past years. So at this moment, we have a herd of about 330.
So you feed them every day? You look after them?
They're a big... we have a large herd. They are going out grazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sick and disabled animals, cows, cattle, donkeys, that is in our... clinic, in our hospital, cattle hospital, mm-hmm. They need special care, they need special food, and they die when it is their time. So they die a natural death.
I see.
So we have buffaloes with us, male buffaloes.
There was a camel I saw in the hospital.
Yes, we have a camel as well, also rescued from slaughter. It was in Kadri. It was walked down from the north of India to south India by road to be slaughtered. And it was in Kadri. It was with a sheet over his back, where the price in rupees was per kilo.
Oh my God! So I did not know people eat camel meat.
Yes, yes. And in the north, it is normal. And also the slaughterhouses there, they are adjusted to the slaughter of camels.
God.
But here in the south, no camel is allowed to be slaughtered because it cannot be slaughtered in a responsible way. And there are also our veterinary doctors are not trained for...
Because it's not natural to this habitat, I guess.
No,
no. Oh, my God. That's a scary story. You have snakes also in Ahimsa Farm?
No, I have snakes around my house.
Okay.
I live in my house with inside. I have frogs and mice. And cat and dogs. And outside the house, I have snakes. And then we have a lot of birds there. Because that is only around my house. But at the same place, there is the Ahimsa Farm. And the Ahimsa Farm, that is where we try to do what we believe should is the proper way to deal with cows and with earth and with the soil and with growing food. Because we believe that the cow has come as a supporter of the human being to grow food for human beings. It means your grains, your vegetables, fruits, everything. But the farmer cannot do everything. So working together with a bull or with a cow provides the strength to do all the work. So originally, I believe the holy cow was not for milk and meat. It was only for agriculture. And the extra milk that was available, that, of course, could be used by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But now the whole situation has reversed.
So that was the Vedic way of life.
Yes. So in the Vedic, there is a lot of attention for the milk aspect. But that is not the point. The point was the bull. The bull needs all the milk because it has to be strong. And it has to be strong to do all the work. Then, if the bull can do all the work, we have everything to eat, the sattvic food that we need.
I see.
That, and then even the mother, she can even also work in the field. So in that way, the cow is the mother of life, because in that way, the provision of food is secure.
And that's why she's called the holy cow or the mother cow.
The mother, she is our mother in that aspect.
That's right, yes.
But there is nowadays, even in the religious circles, there is too much attention for the milk aspect and not anymore for growing food for people.
That was the primary function of having cattle as part of your family, as an extension of your family.
Yeah. And it was, nobody would ever think about abusing or slaughtering a cow.
So now the scene is that people want to keep the female cow and the male calves are just sent away for a slaughterhouse for making meal.
Yeah. So the situation now is that the local cow, the original cow from India, is actually not suitable for milk production.
And they're being used only for milk production, mostly, primarily. So
no. Now, that is why they have brought in the Jersey cows, all the kind of different breeds and mixed breeds, so that the people can keep them around the house. They have to feed them, and they can draw the milk. Mm. So the cow has been reduced to only a milk production unit. Mm-hmm. So the respect for the animal is gone. Because as soon as she is not delivering milk, or if she, also the calf is taken away immediately and it is being slaughtered. So nowadays there is a direct connection between milk that is available and slaughter. Mm-hmm. So being a vegetarian, you can put a big question mark there. Because although you're not eating meat, mm-hmm. buying the milk in the supermarket or from the local dairy farm is a direct connection with slaughter. And this is something I wish people could be more aware of, because it means, without knowing, many people contribute to the suffering and abuse of cows. And that is not the way we should live.
Actually, I find there's a growing awareness about veganism in the West as opposed to India, where people think eating dairy is perfectly fine as part of a vegetarian diet. But veganism, where you don't want to hurt an animal or use any product that is derived from an animal, is very popular, is growing in popularity in the West right now. Yeah. And I know of a number of restaurants in major Western cities that actually cater vegan menu.
Yeah.
That is very unusual that, you know, in India we have inherited this Vedic culture and we've kind of forgotten the place of the holy cow in our lives and in society and have just monetized this function entirely. Now, tell me about your lovely campaign, which I really, really like, is about trying to keep Puttaparthi plastic free. And I can see a lot of stores encouraging us to bring our own bags, cloth bags, instead of plastic.
Yeah, well, it's not only about Puttaparthi. What actually happened that in 2010, we received a number of cattle from Anantapur. So the commissioner had taken them from the road and he brought them to our place. So some of the animals almost died immediately, mm-hmm. because we gave them proper food and they died from the proper food.
They were not used to it.
No, we did post-mortem and they were full of plastic. The animals were carrying between 30 and 80 kilos of plastic in their stomach.
Because they eat out of garbage dumps where there is everything tied in plastic.
That is because the male calves that are not useful anymore for the dairy farm, they are left on the road. And they are actually bought by the brokers, by the butchers. They leave them on the road to grow up till they are fat enough, big enough to go for slaughter. And then in the night they go on the trucks and they will be removed to the slaughterhouse. When we found that so much plastic was inside, our surgeons decided to start surgeries. So we have, over time, we have done 58 surgeries. That is called a ruminotomy. And every single animal from the road mm-hmm. was full of plastic.
Yeah.
4 have died, 54 have survived. And several of them were already pregnant and have delivered their babies safely after that. So we look after them. So that was such a shock for me also. Because I realized that if you see India, you see everywhere you see cows on the road and you think they are very happy, they have a big belly, they are chewing, and there's nothing wrong from the outside. Now we know that every single animal, the millions of animals you see on the road, are full of plastic. And many of those cows go back in the evening to the dairy owner. They will be milked and the plastic is already in the milk. So there has been studies by the Animal Husbandry Department of Chennai, and the milk has been tested, and the PCBs are already in the milk.
Mm.
So the whole situation is actually desperate, not only for the animals, but also for the people. The main problem is that there are, in this time of age, millions and millions of animals are being produced only for milk production. India is the biggest milk production, the largest in the world.
And dairy consumer as well,
I guess. Yes, a huge dairy consumer, because people feel...
And leather exporter.
And also exporting beef to Middle East countries.
Yes.
And there is, then you are only talking about the slaughterhouses with permissions, but most animals are being slaughtered on the side of the road. So on the cattle markets, in the villages, and also, for example, Andhra Pradesh is a transit route for slaughter cattle from other states. So there are many states. Actually, except to all the states in India, cow slaughter is not allowed. It actually means that all cows and her children are protected. But
on paper, though.
On paper. But in the night and in all kinds of different ways, those animals are being transported, and they are being transported from state to state to state.
For this purpose?
For this purpose, being packed by 40 to 50 in a truck, they arrive dead. They are trampling each other. It's a horrible situation. So this is only for milk production. And so this is what the people should be aware of, that the chai you drink, the milk products, your yogurt you like to eat after your food, it is connected to this pain that the cows are suffering.
And we don't know what all is in that milk and how much suffering a cow has undergone to get that milk.
Yeah.
That is scary. Sounds very cruel and sad. That's why they call it the blood milk, basically, the milk we drink. But what are our options? If somebody wants to go off of dairy, knowing all this, and turn to veganism, and, you know, you are used to your cup of chai and... What are our substitutes? Soy milk doesn't give you the same exact taste.
No, and soy is also for the environment a problem, because there is so much soy being produced for cattle feed.
Mm. And it's genetically modified, most of the grains.
Yes, so you just don't take it.
Black cheese.
You have to give up something. That is the price you have to pay if you are aware of the suffering of the animal.
Mm.
I have become a vegan only during this series of operations on the plastic cows.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized, so when I came from Holland, I was a vegetarian, because Swami had made me understand that I cannot eat another person. Because for me, an animal is another person, it's somebody else. You see, it is equal, it is life. So I cannot eat somebody else. That I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the milk, that was not clear for me.
Mm, and now it's a different perspective.
Now it's totally different, because now I have the information.
Mm-hmm.
And from one day to the next, I quit.
Wow.
And it was not difficult.
Difficult at all, once you knew the facts. Tell me something. I believe the cow that most dairy farmers are raising is really very different from the animal that used to be the Indian cow a few decades ago. It has undergone so much of mutation in its DNA and its gene to make it a much milk-producing machine.
Yes, it's a milk-producing machine. And this is the policy of the government. It is a business. It is not about poor people. They say we need to have one cow for every poor family.
Mm-hmm.
But what is happening in the villages, I see it around in Puttaparthi. The farmers leave their lands alone. They get loans from the government, they get cows in that way, and they think it's easy money. But it's not easy money, because a lot of land now has to be used for producing cattle feed. And the animal drinks a lot of water. And what will happen in the end to the animal? Many have diseases. During the drought here, many animals in the surrounding villages have died, the cows. The local cow is very hardy.
Mm-hmm.
It does not need any medical care.
I see.
It can survive the drought.
But it's an endangered species. We hardly
have
any.
Yes. So this year, Every house in Yenamunapalli and in the surrounding villages is having a breed cow. And it is all collective dairy farming. So all the milk is being collected and it's going to the factory, to the cooperative, and it is going back to the supermarkets.
With all the plastic in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, this is very scary.
And also all the male calves are being slaughtered and they are disappearing. Well, but I would actually like to go back to the Ahimsa farm, because this is a very painful story. But you have to look at what else can we do? Yes? Do we have an alternative?
Yeah, do we?
Because I have 300 animals to feed, cattle. So from the beginning, our cattle, first of all, is going out grazing. So they need only additional food.
But where do they go grazing? There's plastic all over the Indian countryside.
In the forest is no plastic.
I see.
Yeah, it's only when they leave the dogs out on the roads where all the garbage is. Mm-hmm. So, that I also want to say. A lot of problems in India would be solved if there would be a proper garbage collection.
Waste management is an area.
Waste management, yeah. That is the first. And not only the clean roads for the VIPs and for tourists. Yes, because all the garbage is just being moved outside.
Yeah.
And the dogs are being picked up and being relocated and thrown out. So garbage management should include every village and should create a different mentality of reusing,
recycling.
Of composting, recycling.
Yeah.
Yes? So, but the Ahimsa farm, I would come back to that. We don't kill one animal. Every animal that is being born with us or that has been rescued with us will stay for the rest of its life. So her life is guaranteed, food is guaranteed, although we don't know how to feed, but anyway, that is our promise. And we use the byproducts of the cows for biogas, for making compost. We have an organic garden.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big mango orchard. We have recently bought some more land, because we feel we should show the people how to go back to
nature,
food production for people. Because if all the food is being produced for cattle, who is going to grow food for people?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, and there is an economic theory that suggests that if we keep promoting meat eating, we have to produce a certain number of cattle, and to produce food for this cattle, we have to grow a certain kind of crops. We are actually degrading the environment by doing it in a very severe way that can really hurt the planet.
Yeah, it's already happening. Half of Anantapur district here, the soil is dead. It's finished. It's not useful. So, and it has a severe consequences for the environment.
What do you mean the soil is dead?
There is no bacterial activity anymore because of the overuse of pesticides and artificial fertilizer.
Oh, okay.
So the natural fertilizer with composting and cow urine and worms and everything, it means what I told you before, for me the soil is also God.
Of course.
It is alive. So the soil is a living being.
It is.
So, and also bacteria are very important for our survival.
Yes.
Even in our own body, but also in the soil. So we have to nurture these parts of life as well. It is for our own survival. Because what is happening now is like destruction, pure destruction. And it is only for economic gains. So it is very difficult for the people in the villages to keep up and to find again their respect for animals, because they are also being influenced by only cash crops. They are selling off their bulls for slaughter. During the drought, every week from only Anantapur district, 15,000 bulls went for slaughter every week.
But that was
only for during the drought.
I guess, and economic then, necessity.
No, the farmers don't want to feed the animal during the drought.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then when the rain starts, they will find some money or a loan, and they buy a new bull or they try something else.
I see.
But the basic respect of the feeling, this is my family and we work together for the sake of human beings and nature, for all of us together, that feeling is gone.
You know, I understand that this whole process of commercializing cows has led to such a, if I may use the term, dehumanizing of the cow and robbing it of its dignity, that the original idea where a calf approached a mother cow and the udder started to milk has actually vanished, that activity, because now there is no emotion involved. This is a genetically altered animal, so the moment you want, at any point in time, you can start milking it. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true with the breed animals that are being bred abroad. Mm-hmm. They are very far away. But actually, we also don't know, because even those animals are bellowing a lot.
So there is
They are crying.
They are crying. There's some pain in their heart
as
well.
Yes, there is pain. And also, what is happening also in the villages here, for example, if a calf has died, or a calf is being starved to death, mm-hmm. which is very happening a lot, they are giving oxytocin hormone injections.
Yes.
And that forces the milk to go down. And it's the pain, the same pain as what animals have when they give birth. So, and that happens twice a day. So it is illegal. It's not allowed. But it is happening. You see? So, an Indian cow will not give milk without a baby. She will simply hold it up.
Hold it back. Yeah.
Yeah, she will hold it back. So to force the milk to come down, the dairy farmers are giving the injection.
Now, we're talking about the Indian cow so much, but there are a lot of cows, foreign cows as well, and we know of things like mad cow disease that happens in the West, where there are greater regulatory bodies and greater regulation in animal management, cattle management. What are your thoughts on that? Because those animals are also, they might live in physically cleaner looking environments. Are they any happier?
No, I think they are very much estranged from their own being.
And nature.
Mm. They don't. But what is happening there is very, very strange. And it leads to new forms of abuse. So I heard that they also have cows where they have done an operation on the side. And they can open it up. And the farmer can just look inside and see what he has to feed. That is a little bit crazy, isn't it?
We are all aware of the fact that when cows were fed fodder that was mixed with the meat of other dead cattle, it led to so many diseases.
Yeah.
And eating that kind of meat bought in the supermarket is extremely detrimental for health, as is the milk, because it's loaded with the hormones that are injected into the cow to increase its milk yield.
Yeah.
So there is a more sophisticated, perhaps, form of abuse happening elsewhere as well.
Yes, very scientific.
Very scientifically designed, because science is being used to create that.
Yeah.
You're talking about how you feel that the soil is also God, is living being. Now, you are at Karuna, you do a lot of organic farming,
mm-hmm.
outside of Puttaparthi, on the other side of the bridge going towards Bukkapatnam. Tell us about your organic farm activity.
Well, we started out of need for two things.
Mm-hmm.
The one is we have no income for cows.
Yeah.
We are not supported in our care for the rescued animals.
Okay.
So we have to find a way to finance these animals. And the second thing is that because I live in Puttaparthi as a foreigner, I know that many foreigners have some problems with the Indian food, and they would love, especially elderly people, they like their lettuce and their salads and more healthy food, more light food. So we started organic farming to provide this service for the foreigners. And that is why we have a shop also in Puttaparthi, mm-hmm. which is an outlet for our produce and for organic food. That is close to Sight Towers in that small road.
Mm-hmm. And what are your plans for the future? I believe urine harvesting is one of them.
Well, the little money that we make now with our organic farming or with our organic produce is not enough for over the whole year to look after our animals.
So many animals.
So many animals are there.
Yes.
So there is a proper use of byproducts for cows. I mean, that is the alternative. Don't use milk, but re-establish the original Indian cow for Ayurvedic medicine. You see, instead of getting sick from all the bad food, try to provide the medicines that is connected with Ayurveda.
Sounds very interesting to me, coming from a Dutch woman from Holland. Yes, thank you for the reminder. Yes.
So we have recently started the collection of cow urine, mm-hmm. and to distill it, and we will put it on the market as an Ayurvedic medicine. And that is one of the other products, is that we are also making compost that people can buy for spraying in their garden and to improve the soil in their garden.
Like a fertilizer, like manure.
Yeah, like fertilizer. Mm-hmm.
We did not touch one aspect. There's amazing work you do with dogs, because I've seen it myself at the hospital. You have dogs with a quarter and a half leg, and dogs with 2.5 legs, and dogs who have lost their sight, and they're being looked after so well. So tell us about that.
The dogs in Puttaparthi, the dogs in India, they are mainly stray animals.
Yes.
And they are closely connected with the garbage, mm-hmm. of course, because
yes.
they are scavengers.
Yes.
And there are too many. And most of the time people don't like them. So there are, now we have a duty to sterilize and vaccinate stray dogs.
And you've done it for so many dogs.
Yeah, we have done more than 8,000 surgeries around Puttaparthi.
Well, that's a huge number.
Yes, but every month 40, 50 new dogs are coming in the area.
Where do they appear from?
The people take them from outside, because the village people use them for hunting. They are hunting now with the peanuts growing. They are hunting wild boars, the wild animals. So there is a lot of hunting going on in the forest. That is something we should touch upon another time.
Perhaps.
About how around Puttaparthi there is so much wildlife, but they are all endangered and all being under threat of the human expansions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And the dogs in Puttaparthi, actually that's a totally different story, because of so many foreigners here, they are being looked after quite well. A lot of people feed the animals, but it also attracts dogs from outside, because they have a smell of the canteens. It smells good. And so, especially with festivals, all the dogs from the villages are coming this side, and they want to have some part of the feeding and the festival.
And they want to participate in the celebrations happening here.
Yes, yes. But when we receive all the accidents and the skin problems, all kinds of diseases, every animal, every stray animal is welcome.
Mm-hmm. And I must tell our listeners that the Karuna Animal Shelter has a very organized system of treating animals with qualified veterinarians and animal lovers and a number of volunteers and highly trained and dedicated staff. So, on behalf of Radio Sai, I really thank you, Clementine Powes, for coming on Morning Glory and sharing your passion for compassion with our listeners.
Thank you.
It's been great having you.
Thank you.
Sai Ram, in today's episode of Serving in the Name of Sai, you just heard an interview with Mrs. Clementine Powes of Holland. This was first aired as a live conversation on 2nd August 2012. We hope you enjoyed this program. As always, if you have any comments or feedbacks, you can reach us through email. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org.
Thank you.